When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
I have been committed these last few years, actually, other challenges that I've walked through, to grieving in real time. It's so important.
What does that mean?
For me, that in a moment of grief, if I feel pain, sadness, fear, all that, I'm going to just go with it in that moment. Mm. If that means I need to go to the bathroom, I need to stop, cry, or just acknowledge like, pain is moving through me today. And just acknowledge that. And I might move my body in a way that feels natural, just, you know, to like move things and let strain out of my muscles, because in those moments our body is trying to expel something, and every time we hold it in, we're just saving it for later.
Welcome to a new episode of Healed Girl Era podcast with me, Gia Peppers. I am so honored to have Dr. Anita Phillips on this episode because she has been living at the intersection of faith and therapy long before it became a trend. She is a trauma therapist, a life coach, a minister, and a New York Times best-selling author of her book, The Garden Within, where the war with your emotions ends and your most powerful life begins. Above all that, she also has her own podcast called In the Light, where she is always guiding us to our highest selves through healing, through therapy, through talking through these hard moments. You'll hear us in conversation about faith, healing, the reality of living within that tension that happens in joy and deep sadness and all of the things in between, and how to get our bodies back to center in those throes of emotion that happen in our daily lives through engaging with the vagus nerve. Yes, y'all, we about to get into the technical scientific terms of healing, faith, and more. The new episode of Healed Girl Era, the podcast, starts now.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to a new episode of Healed Girl Era, the podcast. I'm Gia Peppers, and I am so honored that you would join me here today. I have a woman with me who is one of my absolute favorite people to know, to get the privilege of watching, how she shows up in all of her purposes. And I am honored to have on the couch today my sister, minister, preacher, therapist, New York Times best-selling author, Dr. Anita Phillips is here.
Hey, Gia. Sister. How you doing? Hostess extraordinaire with the mostest and all the things. Amen. Who always looks fabulous.
Thank you. How are you doing? Do you today. I love today, the hair and I love the vibes.
We're trying.
Thank you so
much. Hanging on.
Literally, and I'm so grateful that you could be here today, because you have always been about this faith life and always been about this healing life. Mm. And it's a lot of people that try to separate the two. And so we're really going to break that down today in the eras of your life. But before we get started, let's do a little word of prayer.
All right.
To center ourselves in the name of Jesus.
Hold on. Hallelujah. Okay. Dear Heavenly Father.
Thank you, God.
Thank you so much for this time. Thank you for the gift of Dr. Anita Phillips. Thank you for the ways that she says yes to your call. Mm. Thank you so much for all of the ways that you strengthen her and allow her to show up for all of us. Today, God, use us to help anyone who watches this or listens to this really come to know that they are not alone on any journey that they experience in their life. No matter what era they're in, no matter what feeling they're feeling, they are not alone, and they are not able to feel like they are forever defeated. God, let us be used today. Use us for whatever you see fit. Remove all nerves, all anxiety. Thank you for this friendship. Thank you for this moment. Thank you for every person on this set. Anoint this in whatever way you see fit. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
I love you.
Amen. I love you back.
I'm just
that was a beautiful prayer.
Thank you, sister. Mm-hmm. I'll be learning from the best. Okay.
Well, I know my friend Sarah was around.
Hello.
So there's the anointing just floating in the air. We're going to try to have a conversation after that. I'm sure it was outrageous.
Y'all really, both of y'all really be like, I mean, I don't know what's going to happen. As if y'all don't make us cry every week. But what's amazing is to watch you really own this moment. And I want to start with this New York Times bestseller, The Garden Within. One, this book is so much about what this podcast is about, with the tying the fact that God wants us well. And there's not only evidence of that, you can literally study the sciences and it'll show you that. Mm-hmm. What does this moment, this New York Times bestselling book, the fact that people have received it so well, what does it mean to you?
That's the thing that means the most to me, that people are still, I mean, the book at this time, the book's been out just a little over 6 months. It's sold over 100,000 copies already. I read those reviews on Amazon and the DMs that I get, and I'm blown away. I'm blown away. It's doing exactly what I dreamed it would do and prayed it would do, but to have it doing it makes all the difference in the world. And I think that it speaks to one of the most powerful healing tools, which is clarity. That when people recognize the difference in how they were viewing their emotional life and how God views their emotional life and make that shift, just understanding, just having clarity can be so healing. Because one, you find out that stuff you thought was broken isn't. So you can cross stuff off your list of heals like, oh, that wasn't even broken. Somebody else told me that was broken. I assumed that was broken, but it's not broken. So just getting the understanding, you know, there's a verse in the Bible that says, in all you're getting, get understanding. And I don't feel like we've slowed down to do that enough. And so we want self-help. We want help. Like, tell me the 4 steps, tell me the 3 steps. And it's just like, you don't even understand how you're built, how God created you, and where your destination is, right? Always with the healing journeys, like everybody's on one, and I'm glad, but like, how do you know when you're there? Okay. How do you know when the journey is finished? And I think it's dangerous to just say, I'll be on a healing journey for my whole life. Yeah, but you know, you kind of want to have a feeling of like, okay, I got somewhere. This is where I was going. And we haven't had that because we haven't had a definition of what it really looks like to be well, other than to not be in pain. And well-being and wellness does not necessarily mean that I have no pain in my life.
Ooh, okay, you said so much goodness there. What really stuck out to me is that you said the healing journey is not a forever thing.
It doesn't, not in every area. Yeah, I mean, we want to constantly look for opportunities to be more of what God created us to do.
Yeah.
But as my identity shifts in different areas from wounded to healed, like a wound does heal. So how will I know when I'm where I want to go? And it's not always easy to know, but yeah, I don't know if that was helpful. But
that is helpful.
The point of The Garden Within was to help people understand how we're built.
Yes.
And that emotion is so central to that. Yeah. You know, a lot of us drive cars every day, but we couldn't fix one. And so me neither. And so a lot of us have been trying to fix ourselves without really understanding how we're built, you know? So we're intervening in ways that are not productive. And we've been repressing emotion, separating from emotion, despising emotion. But I'm so excited that in general, I think the culture is shifting in this area. And I feel really, really, really honored by the Lord to get to be a part of that shift in the body of Christ. So that finally, as Christians, we're not the last ones to get it. Because we're always the last ones to get it. You know what I mean? And I said, God, can you? I don't want that to be the case. Yeah. So I feel like the timing of the book was really divine in that the world in general is talking more about emotion, about our bodies, about connecting. And this book coming out now means that as Christians, we can be a part of the conversation, not last. The last people to get on the boat, you know?
Yeah, and I think that's truly. And I think there's so much power in the fact that I feel like, other than the divine timing of the book, it's also the divine timing of you. Like, for such a time as this, you have been called and created quite literally for this time. Like, we wouldn't have as much understanding or even the timing of your platform and how it's grown in the last several years with Women Evolve and all the ways that you have ministered to all of us on many stages, because you are everywhere. I always look and I'm like, thank God for Dr. Anita, because she actually is a whole therapist who has studied this her entire professional career, but also has the love of God mm-hmm. and has known him her whole entire life.
Yeah.
So I want to go back to baby Dr. Anita Phillips.
Hey, the baby.
The baby version.
Yeah. Before we go there, can I say yes. something about timing? Mm. You know, because I do believe that I'm in the timing that God has for me.
I'm taking my shoes off. So
listen,
I see.
Yeah, listen. This sofa it's calls so for calls for yes.
yes.
Is that I want to say I wasn't Dr. Anita until I was 35 years old.
Wow.
You know, I'm 50 now and I'm loving it. But if you had told me at 25 that some of the things that I dreamed of doing wouldn't come to pass till I was close to 50, I would have had a fit. I would have been like, what? God? You know, it would have at 25, it would have sounded like forever. I'm not going to achieve this or that. And the timing is so perfect. Everything is later and different than I expected. And so I just want to encourage women who are listening yes. about really actually trusting the timing of God, because 35 when I got my PhD,
wow.
you know, and then did a postdoctoral fellowship 2 years after that. So it's okay. Just keep moving, you know, and trust God's timing, because sometimes we need the life experience that's coming along with the opportunities that we want. I've always had a heart to affect the body, a heart to affect women especially, but there were some life experiences that I needed to have along with the education, along with my professional training. And so, yeah. We're just getting started, all of us, every single one of us.
That's such a good point. I feel like the timeline of life, when we don't meet certain expectations, it throws you out of even enjoying your life.
Yeah.
Like you're like for me, if you would have told me at 33, I wouldn't have a husband, a house, be like Joan on Girlfriends, with all the things. You know, she had a house, a car.
If you told me at 50, I wouldn't still have a husband. Mm. But here we are.
Here we are.
Mm-hmm. Things change.
When we think about the timing of this moment, you are in this beautiful house with Oprah. You are walking around. You are on the Oprah Network as a guest.
Yeah.
Not an expert, you know, with her. You are... My guest, Dr. Anita Phillips, is here experiencing all of this amazingness and at the same time dealing with this grief.
Mm-hmm.
How have you been doing?
I'd say I'm doing good, because good doesn't mean no pain.
Mm.
And one of the things that I've been committed to in all the transitions that I've been in is deeply, deeply indulging the joy. I mean, like, I'm soaking wet in it.
Yes.
I'm not just like slightly touching it. I'm reading the reviews when people post and they're just like, my life's just like, I'm not going to rob myself of that. You know, I read comments and I know people say, don't read the comments. Cause every 10 or 12 or 15 or 20, there might be a negative one. But if I'm going to, why would I avoid all of the words that people are taking the time to put out there to bless me? Mm. And why would I refuse their gift to protect myself from some negative words at the same time? Like, you really got to think about that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
People take the time to write, you've blessed me, you've changed my life. Like, they're offering me a gift, right? Yeah. Those words are seeds in my garden. Those words fall in the soil of my heart.
Yes.
And so, like, why am I going to refuse that?
Yeah.
Because every 20 comments or 30 comments, somebody might say something negative. Why would I, with fear from something that might feel painful, avoid and reject the gifts that I'm being offered by every single person that is offering?
You know what I mean? No, that's such a great point and a great way to look at it too, because I think it's so scary sometimes, this internet space.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's scary. I'm not saying it ain't scary.
Right. So scary. You be like, child, did I say the right thing? Oh, Lord, someone's going to judge me or see me differently or push me away because I made one mistake.
Mm-hmm.
And then they judge you off of one mistake.
Sure.
Not just... It wasn't the years that you tried to be good or the years that you did your best to put yourself out there in a way that represented God and glory. The one time you make a little mistake, your whole life is thrown away.
Right. Or you just misspeak. You use the wrong word or something's taken out of context and clipped. And that's threatening.
Yes.
And I'm an introverted and I'm a very private person. Yeah. So the lights are very bright to me. Mm. But when you're giving gifts and receiving gifts, that's the space I try to stay in.
I love that.
That there's gifts to be given and gifts to be received. And so, that matters to me. I can't remember how we got on that point.
I think what was that point? We talked about the duality of life.
Oh, yes. And you were saying, how was I
the
doing?
The grief and this so, joy. Yeah, yeah.
Deep,
yeah.
In, deep in joy.
Yes.
And I have been committed these last few years, actually, other challenges that I've walked through, to grieving in real time. Ooh. It's so important.
What does that mean?
For me, that in a moment of grief, if I feel pain, sadness, fear, all that, I'm going to just go with it in that moment. Mm. If that means I need to go to the bathroom, I need to stop, cry, or just acknowledge like, pain is moving through me today. And just acknowledge that. And I might move my body in a way that feels natural, just, you know, to like move things and let strain out of my muscles. Because in those moments, our body is trying to expel something. And every time we hold it in, we're just saving it for later.
Ooh, sweet.
Right? We're saving it for later. I say all the time, emotions will not last forever, but they will wait forever. Ooh. And so I try not to stock up pain to then encounter it all at once. You know what I mean? And so until finally the closet door bursts open and it all comes flying out because you've been stashing it.
Yes.
I try to make sure that I go ahead and grieve in real time so that I'm not storing that in my body, storing that in my nervous system and making other parts of my life harder. But that has included two things: me learning to not fear pain. And I ain't saying I'm a queen, because I always be careful with that, because then God be like, oh, really? And I don't, you know, I'm not trying to get the advanced test or nothing. I'm not trying to sign up for nothing.
Not that package. I don't want that package.
But I have continued to commit to trying to have a healthy relationship with pain. I think that that's a really powerful way to be free. And I consider that a form of healing. When something painful can come in my life and I'm not trying to avoid it and I'm not terrified that it will wipe me out, like, that's a form of healing. Healing is not pain freedom. A healthy relationship with pain is, to me, is a really important part of being healed. And so I try to have that. And then I try to, and my relationship with God, just over the years, like, he has never failed me.
Oof.
And I'm not saying we got to be perfect with God, but I'm at this point in my life, I need to have enough maturity to say I'm in this pain. And also, God does show. And so I'm going to both experience this and look forward to how he's going to show. I want him to be proud of me in my moments of pain. I want him to be proud of me, not that I tried to resist it, but that I cried, and in my tears, I can be in tears and saying, I believe in you. I believe in you. I am in so much pain, and I believe in you. There was this Crystal Lewis? Old school worship. Yeah, I'm aging myself now.
I was like, I'm right there, but I'm going to stay with you.
The white sister, my white sister, Crystal Lewis. My kids know this song because I would play it on repeat. They'd be like, I know what she's about to say. She has this song called Lord, I Believe in You. Lord, I Believe in You. I'm not a singer, but and I'll put my trust in you. Though I can't see you with my eyes, deep inside your presence I find. And it's one of those songs that you can sing as a confession, and then one of those songs you'll later sing as a praise. Like right now I'm confessing it. Lord, I believe in you. I put my trust in you. And then when the harvest thing comes, the deliverance comes, you're singing it like, yes, I believe in you. Like, I love a worship song that I can sing in both of those places, that I will sing myself into a space.
Yes.
And then later be able to sing those same words in praise. And so that's how I try to live.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
And thank you for sharing that. And thank you for giving us something to take from that too. Music is healing.
It is.
In my times of my deepest disconnection, I noticed that I did not listen to music. Like, I was very much just watching Netflix, very much just trying to dissociate.
You're just zoning out.
Yep. Escaping. And I was like, I haven't listened to music in a month. Woo, I'm not trying to hear my heart. Yeah. I'm not trying to feel. I'm not trying to relate to things. Is there scientific proof that music and those, like singing, that it affects our body? Like, how is that a...
Music is an extremely emotionally stimulating medium. And that's why we'll listen to a song. We're almost like scrolling through the song to like match the mood. Like, you're like, that's the one I want to hear, because there's an emotional impact that music has. It's deeply emotional. Our music memory is also stored in a different part of our brain than other memories. That's why so many people who have dementia, Alzheimer's, but you can put on a song and they'll start singing it, they'll remember the song. That's why we still remember those childhood commercials. Right, you know what right. I mean? It's just like, you can remember music. It's stored in a different part of the brain, which I think speaks so brilliantly to the creator who constantly tells us in scripture to sing. Mm. We're told to sing. And that means I can pull that from a memory space that's different from the memory space that's holding the pain. I'm going to go over to this storage cabinet instead of this storage cabinet. It's not avoidance. It's about utilizing everything that I have. And so music does make a difference. My daughter, who I'm now going to out, and hopefully she won't be like, thank you, Mom.
I love your daughter. She's so cute.
Oh, my girl. She's 21. And for her fasting in the early part of the year, she fasted secular music.
Wow.
And, you know, we grew up old school. Yeah. Like, you don't listen to secular mm-hmm. music. We weren't allowed to play it in the house. Child, remember the Jackson 5 cartoons?
Yes, but
y'all. We couldn't even put that on at our house because they came on singing ABC 123. It was no secular music in our house.
Even though they were singing the alphabet?
Me and Shirley Caesar, listen, this is what we had. The Winans, this is what we had.
Amen.
So we weren't allowed it. We weren't like that with our children. But I encouraged her to consider, you know, the lyrics. What are you hearing? What mood is it bringing? And so she did a music fast where she only listened to worship music, crazy music. And she was shocked at what a transformative experience it was for her. And I encouraged her to check on the days where you're like, I don't want to hear that. I want to hear this.
Yes.
Like, I'm like, just pause and ask yourself, like, what emotional space are you in? Mm. What in you is trying to find its match there? And can you find that match in God's space? So it's not, you know, so many things that we're looking at. It's not about whether it's a sin or not. Like, there's a higher bar in a lot of ways. Now, don't come at me, y'all. I'm not saying there's no sin. But I think that the wrestling that we do about whether something is allowed or not allowed keeps us from a higher standard of, is this good for me? Ugh. In my most evolved, healed, emotionally well state, does this match that? You know what I mean? So not just like, is it wrong? Is it a sin to listen to that song? But like, what's going on with you? What's seeking to be heard? What's seeking to be connected? Is there another way to get that need met that might actually be healthier for you? I can be hungry and I can eat donuts, or I can eat a piece of fish.
Yeah.
Like, I know that one of these is a healthier decision for me. And so I love that she took the opportunity to do that. It had a transformative impact on her.
What would you say would be the biggest, like, and without outing or saying too much, what did she notice about on the other side of not listening
she
to that
noticed
music?
A more during the course of it, she noticed a more general sense of peace.
Wow.
She noticed a much more general sense of peace in her life. And so I think we need to examine all of our inputs and outputs. You know, I think that that's really important, because music matters. Music matters a lot.
Yeah.
Music matters a lot. So I encourage people to examine it. Yeah, yeah, what we consume and when we consume and when we stop.
Yes.
You know, because of those emotional connections. And so sometimes, yeah, I'm pulling on a song that helps me express some pain that I need to get out. And then sometimes I put on something that is where I want to be.
Yeah.
And like I said, I can sing that song with confession. Todd Galbraith's Encounter album, one of my all times.
Todd is different.
He is, though.
Real different.
He is, though.
That's a different anointing on that brother. That album is amazing.
Amazing.
Yeah.
And I can remember singing Joy is Coming with tears streaming down my face and singing that song, I Believe It's Coming. And then when I could see it approaching.
Woo.
And feeling different. And now sometimes being like, it ain't coming, child. It's here. But let me believe something else is coming.
Yep.
I love it. You just sing in all states. Sing in all spaces of your life.
Oof.
Sing.
Sing.
Yeah. It matters. And singing awakens the tree of life in the center of the garden.
Mm.
The vagus nerve that I talk about all the time is stimulated by singing.
Let's talk about the vagus nerve.
Let's talk about it.
One thing about me, like, if I wasn't being a journalist or a host,
mm-hmm.
I did study psychology for a little bit.
Okay.
I love just learning about people and the brain, and I definitely nerd out over it. So I will be nerding out today. But when we think about the vagus nerve, you explained it in your book, but if someone here hasn't mm-hmm. heard of it,
mm-hmm.
what is the vagus nerve and what does it control in our bodies?
Yes. So emotions are bodily experiences, not thought products. Mm-hmm. It's not something we think up and then we make ourselves feel a certain way. A lot of people have learned that. That's how it was early trained early on. Not the case. Emotions are bodily experiences, and they begin in our autonomic nervous system. Mm-hmm. The autonomic nervous system is the part of our nervous system that runs the stuff that we're not in charge of. Your heart rate, your breathing, your blood circulating. You're not doing any of that. Mm-hmm. If you hold your breath, your body will knock you out and start breathing again. So the autonomic nervous system is in charge of you. And part of that autonomic nervous system is the sympathetic nervous system, which is what revs up when we are under pressure or threat. And we call that response, fight, flight, fright. Everybody knows that, fight, flight, freeze. And then the other side is called the parasympathetic nervous system. Oh. The job of the parasympathetic is to turn off that fight, flight, freeze system and bring us back into a state of rest. Mm. The vagus nerve is the primary nerve in the parasympathetic nervous system. And so its job is to bring us back into a state of peace, of calm, of balance, after we have been agitated. And when the vagus nerve is awake, and it's such a beautiful, beautiful nerve. If you look in my book, you'll see in chapter 11, I believe is where we bring the illustration. It literally looks like a tree in the middle of your body. So I call it the tree of life mm-hmm. in the center of our garden within. And when it's activated, our breath slows down. Our heart rate slows down. We feel calmer. We feel open to connecting with mm-hmm. people. Our creative thinking mm-hmm. is unleashed. It's just an incredible thing. It gives life to every part of us. Our immune system is functioning better. And so waking that nerve up and strengthening it yes. is a really important part of our healing journey, because trauma is a physical experience. When we experience something that is traumatizing, either a single event, a series of events, being in an environment for a long time that is devoid of what we need, because that's trauma too. Mm-hmm. It's not always what happened. Trauma is also what did not happen. It's living in an environment for a long time in the absence of love, safety, care, value. Yes, mom fed you, clothed you, and gave a roof over your head. But if there was an absence of emotional validation, an absence of safety, that is trauma too. Mm-hmm. And so when we experience trauma, it actually weakens that tree of life. It weakens the vagus nerve, and the sympathetic nervous system, that fight, flight, freeze, becomes stronger and more dominant. And so we are hypervigilant. We're on guard all the time. Our head's on a swivel, literally and emotionally. Who can I trust? Who can I trust? Always holding ourselves together. And that system doesn't have an off switch. It has an on switch, but not an off switch. The vagus nerve, that system turns the switch off. And so when that nerve has been weakened, we call it vagal tone. When the tone is not there, we have a harder time coming back into balance. It's okay to get angry. It's okay to be sad, to be afraid. But when our vagus nerve is not as strong as we want it to be, we may stay in those states for extended periods of time. Mm-hmm. And when we do, that's undermining our nerve, our body's health, our immune system, the quality of our life, our relationships. And so this tree of life is there in the center of your garden within. We still have the chance to eat from the tree of life.
Yes.
Every day. God's giving us this chance again and again. And I want us to dig into our bodies and get our hands on it.
Mm, yeah. I love that. Let's dig in.
Let's dig.
So when you think about when you said the absence of things we need is also trauma.
Yeah.
A lot of people grew up, and me, you know, in particular, a lot of people, and this is no shade to my parents or anyone, because right. they did the best with to raise me and all of my siblings with all that they had. And they were amazing and are amazing parents.
Yeah.
But everybody doesn't know what every child needs. And I often felt like a little alone mm-hmm. in my raising. I'm the oldest, that oldest child trauma. They doing mm-hmm. studies now. I'm like, yeah, it's yep. real, honey. You got to go ahead and put that out there. But for anyone that is learning how to calm their vagus nerve or get closer mm-hmm. to strengthening it instead of weakening it, how can we know the symptoms of what it might look like if our vagus nerve is actually weaker than it should be?
Yeah, so that's a great question. Yeah, so like I mentioned earlier, when you are in a state of emotional pain, whether it's sadness, fear, anger, there's nothing wrong with those emotions. But if they are much bigger than the present circumstance, and they persist much longer after that circumstance has passed, that is an indication that you might be sympathetic dominant and that your sympathetic nervous system is dominant.
I'm writing it down, and I'm just going to be 100% honest with myself. So there were things during the pandemic mm-hmm. that I I think my body shut down. I think my biggest nerve...
A lot of us were damaged during the pandemic. I mean, it was traumatizing.
Like
100%.
Traumatizing. Mm-hmm. And there are things and habits that I formed that are still very hard for me to get off. Like watching Netflix for way too long and scrolling until like I feel dryness in my mouth.
And you're like get up and what drink some water, right?
The outside is open, girl. Go take a walk. Like, right, what am I doing?
Right.
So in those moments, how can I strengthen, like, what can I do to improve and realize that I'm not still there?
Yeah, for sure. And I love that you brought that up because the pandemic was traumatizing.
Yes.
I don't know that hardly anyone escaped without being affected by it. And so many of us have noticed that since the pandemic, we get tired more easily.
Yes.
We are less tolerant of a lot of things. We don't have the emotional flexibility. Like we may get frustrated more quickly or distressed more quickly. Our bodies took a hit. Like that was nervous system work. I remember early in the pandemic, I was lying in my bed one afternoon just watching Netflix on my iPad. And it was like 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Yeah. And I just felt like laying down. And I realized like, why am I in my bed? And realized I had been spending a lot of time in my room and my kids had to come home because it's a pandemic. They came home from school. And I realized that as a kid, when the trauma things were going on in the house, I would retreat to my room. And that was my kind of safe space.
Oof.
And I realized I was doing it again. I was curled up in my room because the world was feeling unsafe. So I had to like sit up that day and remind myself, I am a whole grown woman. Anita, baby girl, you are safe. We are okay. Yes, the world is scary right now, but you don't have to stay in here. There are other safe places in the house besides your room. This is your home that you've built with your family, and it's a safe place. Mm. And walk myself down the steps and tell myself, you're okay. But I had gone backwards to this idea of feeling threatened even in our homes. And so even as I'm saying that, people are probably like, realizing like some of the things that they retreated to in survival mode. And so now that we're out, one, give our body some slack. These are physical responses. So yes, like how do I start to like make that shift?
Yeah.
Well, first of all, the vagus nerve is not a hack.
Yes.
It's not a biohack.
Right, right. You can't just be like,
yeah,
boom.
Like, okay, so if I'm going to activate this vagus nerve, then I won't have to be sad or angry or frustrated anymore, right? Sadness, anger, fear are human emotions. They are valid emotions and they need to be discharged. Mm. They need to be expressed. And we have been intellectualizing our emotions instead of experiencing them. Everybody's gotten very good at naming them. Get your feelings wheel out. And I love a feelings wheel, but it's like, what am I feeling? This is what I'm feeling. Let me process that. Why am I feeling it? I journaled about it. And guess what? It's still in your body.
You haven't actually
experienced it.
You haven't
shed a tear. You haven't raised your voice and that frustration, nothing. Just, oh, okay, I'm angry now. And all trying to intellectualize it. But you cannot intellectualize your way out of an emotion that is painful. You have to allow yourself to experience it. It has to be discharged from your body. So I was feeling anxious this morning, and my body leans toward anxiety anyway. And before I came in to meet you, I just popped some music in my ears, and I just was like, I was jumping around. And then I did, we could do some progressive muscle relaxation to like push some of that energy out of my body. We try to think our way out of emotion, but again, emotion is a bodily experience. Okay. And so the most direct route to it is through your body. Mm. And so before you try and turn off that sympathetic nervous system that is pushing the fight, flight, freeze, you want to discharge the energy itself because otherwise you're just smashing down the energy. So you don't want to skip it.
Okay.
You want to allow it and then turn on the other system. So I did all of that, pushing it out. And then I did some breathing to bring my vagus back into the space. We try to go straight to the calming.
Yes.
But we have to actually
get it out.
Get it out.
I want to do those exercises right after this because I got one more question there because I am definitely an intellectualizer, journaler, retreat to my room.
Uh-huh.
I think I got it. I read the book. I know. I know what's happening, honey. I know what's happening with me. I do know that it will just store up somewhere else if you don't let it out. What are some other ways that, like, you know, we're about to get into those exercises, but what are some other ways that are healthy to let out anger and emotion, frustration that a lot of us aren't comfortable with. I'm not comfortable with my angry self, to be honest.
Let's talk about it.
I haven't known her well. Mm-hmm. I think I don't know when I learned to not be in that space, that headspace as an adult. But I know as a child, I remember, so my mommy's a social butterfly. Mm-hmm. Very much mommy in the room. She's going to say hi to everyone. I came out the womb like,
mm-hmm. like just you're not the one.
Who? Oh, I don't know her. But my mom wanted me, like, she was like, you're going to be ostracized. Mm-hmm. I need you to be nice. Mm,
I remember hearing those same lessons. Yeah.
I need you to talk.
If you're going
to
have friends, you got to show yourself friendly. And that's in the Bible, child. So now I'm messing with the Bible.
So now I'm wrong.
Right, right.
Now I'm
not in the same. Right.
So I learned how to put on a version of me that was safe. And she doesn't do anger.
Right.
And so I'm not even familiar with that side. As when I get super angry, it comes out like vomit. Like,
right.
Like, and I don't want to be dismissive of my anger because I know it matters. Mm-hmm. And I know that if I don't, like pain will start showing up in my body in places that it wasn't before.
Yeah, let's talk about that. Those pains, that lower back pain, that sciatic pain, the joint pain, migraines.
What are we not processing? And so if I do want to get more familiar with my anger, with those things, where should I even start?
Yeah.
Should I give myself permission to? Like, I'm afraid. I guess I'm afraid of that version of me in many ways.
Yeah, for sure. So something that some of you all listening may have heard me say before, but I want to say it again now. Painful emotions are hunger pangs for a need. Mm. So when I am sad, I am hungry for connection. Mm-hmm. You know, we get sad when we've been disconnected from someone, something, or some place that's valuable to us. Mm-hmm. We have sadness. And so then when I feel that, it's saying I'm hungry for connection. When I'm afraid, I'm hungry for safety. Mm-hmm. And when I am angry, I'm hungry for value. Anger at its base is an emotion we feel when something valuable has been treated less than that. And so when someone treats us in a way that's reflective of something less than our value, it's fair to be angry. If somebody messes with your kid at school, we get angry. That is valuable. You know, they won't take their shoes off and I just bought this rug. Sis, value, right?
Yeah. So, no, that will make me mad.
Yeah, right? And so I want people to know, like, that's where anger is coming from. It's saying that something, I have a need. All of us need to be connected, valued, and safe. Mm. And so when we don't have those needs met, we are altered. And so when you say, when I get mad, I just blow up. Really what I hear is there's been some, probably that hunger has been building. Mm. And finally you're starving. And then you release. And I don't want you to confuse the blow up with anger itself. Like, this is what anger does with me. Mm. A lot of times, just like I always say this example, if I go to the grocery store and I haven't eaten all day and I go to the grocery store at 5 o'clock, I'm more likely to go to the fried chicken at the deli than I am to the raw chicken that I'm gonna cook and grill, because my need has gotten so big that it's undermining my capacity to choose a healthy way to get the need met.
Wow.
Our emotional pain is the exact same way. When we ignore it, we ignore the hunger pang for those things. I ignore the hunger pang for connection. And then finally, 6 months later at 2 o'clock in the morning, I answer that phone call that you shouldn't answer, but you were starving. Mm. And also often we don't give our emotions attention until we're starving, until it looks like we just blew up. But that doesn't make anger bad. It means, how do I take care of myself more steadily? How do I eat my small meals all day so that my need is constantly being met? And so one of the places that you can find your anger or any emotion that you might be avoiding that's painful, when you catch yourself scrolling, when you catch yourself binging, stop for a moment and see what comes up. Mm. Because very often that's us avoiding an emotion. Like if you're working on a project that's hard and then all of a sudden you realize you picked up your phone and you've been scrolling instead of working on the project, stop for a moment. Probably a feeling came up of like, I'm scared this project isn't going to go well. I don't know the right words to write. I'm having a hard time with this script. And then all of a sudden you're running from it with other things, but just sit still. Mm. One of the hardest things for so many people to do is be still, even for 60 seconds. Mm. Just sit still and see what you feel in your body. Sometimes that stomach will start getting tight, neck will start getting hot, and start paying attention to the
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Those sensations, because those are the messages that ultimately let us know where we are emotionally. Meet yourself in your own body. That may be a way for you to get in touch with how you're feeling and your otherwise. Another way that I often encourage people to get in touch, and sometimes I do this for myself, is to make a sound from my body. So a few days ago, actually, I had an emotion like moment, and I knew it was big. It was so much. I could feel my brain almost like checking out, and I kind of went numb, and I was like, no, I know that there's something here and I don't want to repress it. And so I just went, and the more I did that, the emotion started coming through and I was bawling in two more minutes. So sometimes just making a sound, just start letting your body make sound and then follow it. Be surprised what you might find. You might break down crying. You might yell. Trust the wisdom of your body. It has so much wisdom. And we have been, especially as women, taught to disconnect from our bodies. The only thing that we do with our bodies is try and shrink it, beautify it, control it in some other way. But to sit down and just be like, what is available to me here? We haven't been taught to be in touch with our bodies that way. And so come home to yourself. Come home to your body.
That's my favorite thing to hear everyone say is come home to yourself.
Yeah.
Return to
yourself. And that means come into your home to your body. A lot of times I think we leave that out.
Yes.
Come home to yourself. But that means your body. Your body is you. And we've separated from that a lot. Well, my body doesn't define me or does define me. No, that's you, boo. That's you. It's what you feed. It's the arms that get wrapped around you. It's what you dress. It's what you paint. It's what you hate. It's what you should love. Your body and you. There's got to be a truce. My identity does not exist completely separate from my body. And I hear people saying that, well, what if your body's limiting you? I don't want to be limited by that. No, I don't want you to limit yourself by your body, because that means that somehow you disdain your body or you're disconnected from something that it's doing. How do I embrace all of me? If spend a month treating your body as you and see what happens.
That means I'm mindful of what I put in it. I'm mindful of what I put on it. And I'm mindful of like how it feels.
Yes.
How it responds. Start there,
right? Because our first thought will be like, okay, if my body is me, then I need to deprive it of something. You know what I mean? Like, what am I eating? Am I getting exercise?
Am I doing my hour?
No. Like, when you put the chocolate in your mouth, close your eyes and feel it melt. Really indulge. Like, my taste buds are amazing. Like, really taste. Sometimes when you're frustrated, you feel anxiousness. Sometimes I'll just go, you're good, boo. I got you, baby. And run my arm across my own self. You're good. Sometimes take off all your clothes and look at yourself in the mirror and just be like, hey, you. Look at the part that you don't usually like and just sit with that piece. Place your hand there. You're beautiful. You beautiful.
I love that.
Really, really engage with your body in love. Try for 30 days. It will change you.
Okay, we're doing that challenge. Yeah. We're going to make a body love challenge, because I think that's brilliant, Dr.
Yeah, Linda. Don't confuse body love with body discipline.
Exactly. Because like,
that's straight where we go.
It sounds like gratitude and like...
And acceptance.
Acceptance. Yeah. Attention.
Attention.
Because I think... And not attention for vanity.
Right.
But attention for... learning and connecting with our bodies.
Yeah.
Because they are.
That's part of healing, where you are with your body. is a huge part of healing. It's a huge part of healing. And I just think it's so tough on us as women.
Talk about
it. And we're taught to, we always have to look good, you know? So I'm riding this little train. I'm 50. I think I'm holding on pretty good, but.
You look amazing.
I'm holding on, but listen.
Look.
Listen.
You look beautiful.
Listen. But you know, 25 years from now, I'm gonna be 75 years old. The aging thing is coming at me. Right. It's much closer than it used to be. And so I have to remind myself that I'm not entirely defined by the way that I look. And I think a lot of us are so caught in that. Like, it's okay that I don't have to look perfect. When I don't have on my makeup and I have on my glasses and I walk past the mirror and I'm like, girl, then I catch myself, hey, don't do that.
Yes.
Don't do that. You are fine. And I don't even always try to go to, I believe I'm beautiful if nobody else believes I'm beautiful in those moments, because I feel like that's a demand that we don't have to place on ourselves either. Not every single person is going to be whatever the beauty standard is at this time.
At this time.
Right.
Because it's going to change. It's going to change. It just keeps changing.
So
anyway,
if I'm not the beauty standard at this time, or at some point I'm going to be wrinkly, I'm not going to be, you know what I mean? My body's changing. Like, why do I have to be beautiful also? Like physically beautiful to people. I can think of people who have impacted my life in tremendous ways who were not the beauty standard. And when I remember them and I think of them, I'm not like, man, she sure wasn't. Like, I'm not thinking about that. I'm thinking about the wisdom that she shared. I'm thinking about the way she poured into my life and shaped my life. And so why is it not enough for me to walk out in the world and deliver my gifts, even if at the era and the culture in which I live, people will not look at the package as beautiful. So that means I shouldn't, like, I have to fix that somehow before I give you my other gifts. That's just like, that's too much worthiness required from my physical appearance. We gotta balance that.
When the value is in so many other places.
Things to give.
Woo.
And that's maybe beautiful. I pour out my gifts until you don't see me anyway.
Okay. All right. That was good. That
I pour out my gifts until you don't see me anyway. Yeah. Till you're not looking at me thinking I'm beautiful or not beautiful.
You're looking at the spirit.
Yeah. And not even at me anymore. Yeah. I want you to be about you. I'm trying to give you something for you. It's like not about me. I think that I think it's something that we should wrestle with as women.
Okay, I'm gonna start with the body love challenge and then I'm gonna get to that.
Yeah.
Because that's a real thing.
It's true.
Like, it's a part of, it's like this weird reality of being in the industry, on camera, on social. Like,
oh, it's horrible.
And it's weird where even if I have learned very much so to not define myself by my following or my likes or my comments, which took work, because when people literally say the difference between you getting this job and not is because she has 200,000 more followers. You internalize that as I'm not worthy because I don't have followers.
Oh, for sure. For sure.
And I learned to one, be like, girl, if 20 years ago the value system here wasn't real, then it really the
it's
human
still not real. Right. It's still not
the
real.
Human body doesn't even know what we're experiencing.
Yeah.
Cause I really think about the girls who are coming up in this time and getting 100 messages within a second. Opening their phone.
Oh, it's horrible. Their mental health is under incredible attack. Like, social media is having an incredibly detrimental effect. So the UN just released, and the Gallup people just released the happiness report, 2024 happiness report. And it shows that America has dropped from number 15 to number 23 in terms of most happy countries in the world. And that drop is being driven by young people under 30 years old. And so at this time, people who are older in America are much happier than young people. That's significant. That's very significant. Now, the central question in this study was, imagine a ladder where the bottom step is 0 and the top step is 10. 0 to 10. 10 being the best possible life you could have. Where are you? Which step are you on from 0 to 10? That's the primary question. It's a life evaluation question. And they base that happiness idea on this question. But when you think about it, it's a comparative question. What is your level compared to the best life you could have? Well, when social media is artificially inflating what the best life could be, and young people are having that as their standard, it's no shock that they're rating their level lower and lower. Hey, I'm only a 3 compared to what life could be as a 10, when really they're probably a 7.
Right.
But social media is artificially inflating what the best is. And that's making it very difficult because we all have the natural tendency to compare where we are to where we think we could be or what someone else has.
Yes.
And so young people are having incredible difficult time. And the study also found that young people are experiencing painful, they say negative, I don't like that word, but painful emotions at a higher rate than before. And that by the age of 12, girls are exceeding boys in the extent to which they're experiencing negative emotion on a regular basis. These things are going to have effects on mental health for decades. So social media is really challenging right now. And it's challenging young people, especially because the beauty standards, there have always been unattainable beauty standards, but the way, the extent to which it's being funneled right in your face all the time, it's really damaging.
That is, I was looking at a lot of the studies that show that teen girls and teens in general are also experiencing higher suicide rates, higher rates of depression. Mm-hmm. And so that study makes sense. The results of that study absolutely make sense. And I know there's going to be all types of women from many different ages listening to this. When social media feels overwhelming, mm-hmm. and you realize that it has actually taken an effect on your mental health, what tools should you be, you know, turning to within your bodily mm-hmm. relationship mm-hmm. to disconnect from what's feeling unhealthy for you?
Sure. So a lot of the advice that we've heard before, but actually need to apply. When you're scrolling, if you have someone whose posts make you feel a certain way all the time, chest gets a little tight, makes you look in the mirror to check your makeup, mm. things that bring that comparison feeling to the surface, unfollow.
Mm.
It doesn't mean that you don't like that influencer or whatever, but right now where I'm at, this is not adding value to me. There may be feeds and pages that you just need to unfollow. Mm. So they're just not even there.
Yeah.
I think that's really important. Limiting the time on there is important, but it is also simultaneously this incredible connection space, right? And so I'm not saying that people should give it up entirely, but I think it is fair to look at limiting your time. Mm. When I'm working especially, I put a Post-it on my phone and I write on the Post-it, why? Ooh. Capital W-H-Y question mark. And there the phone is. And so if while I'm working or cleaning or doing other things and I mindlessly reach for the phone, there's this big thing on it that says, why? Why are you picking this up right now? And I'm like, and that helps me not only just put it back down, but answer the question.
Mm.
You know, like, did I pick it up to send my daughter a text? Then do that. Because, you know, we pick it up for one thing.
And then we on
and then 20 minutes Target, later, and you Amazon. Don't even know why you picked up the phone. So it's like, why? Bring this intentionality into the space. And if you picked it up mindlessly, then I put it down. What am I feeling right now? What's happening in my body if I just sit still? Is there a discomfort that I was going to use this addictive mechanism to medicate and attend to what needs to be attended to?
That's a great way.
And then return.
Yes. Yeah. So all things with intention, even our phone access.
Whatever. I say this to my clients all the time. Whatever you do is your choice. I don't care. But whatever you do, and I do care, but you know what I'm saying? Whatever you do, do it on purpose.
Mm.
I just need you to do it on purpose. So with your full self, this I did this with intention. Intention is so empowering.
Mm.
When I do it intentionally, I did it on purpose. That is a sense of power. We spend a lot of time trying to control things and not enough time walking and moving in power.
Ooh.
So shout out to Pastor Sarah Jessica Roberts.
Power moves.
You don't have power moves.
Out now.
Get it. It's such, and it is so great for this reason, because we need to understand what power is.
Yeah.
And control is a cheap substitute that most of us fall into. How do I control it?
Not you coming exactly for me.
Listen.
That was wild, Dr. That was shot.
It's a cheap substitute.
Control
is a cheap substitute for power. Absolutely. Because control is us trying to limit it, minimize it, stop it, remove it. Power expands. Power moves, as Sarah says. It takes me from where I am to where I'm going. It moves me to create what I don't see yet, to impact in a way that is growth, that is a reflection of me being a child of the creator. Control is what I want to take, what I want to hoard, what I want to not lose. It's that scarcity. And we spend so much time trying to control things instead of saying, what power do I have to impact, to build, to expand, to create? And if I'm in a situation where I realize I don't have power, then I need to accept that and move to a place where I do have power. And so control has been a cheap substitute for power. They're related concepts, but they're not the same. They're not the same.
Move to a space I do have power.
Yeah. What do I have power over? What power can I wield? Mm. When we realize the difference between control and power, it will free us, because a lot of times we're trying to control what other people do. Ooh. And I don't have power there.
Ooh.
I'm trying to limit their capacity to impact me rather than using the power I have to change my internal experience so that if they do act in a certain way, I am not responding to it in this way because I've redefined something. I have the power to do that. Mm. I can't control them, but I have power to do over sometimes just the way that I see it.
Mm.
That's power to shift my understanding, to shift to clarity, to accept that I do not have the capacity to control this person.
That's amazing.
There's not power in this area. Where do I have power then?
Mm.
What power do I have? Because I always have some.
You always have some.
I always have some.
You always
have some. I always have some.
That's so amazing.
Even when I'm choosing between two things that are awful, it's still a choice.
Mm.
And I have the power to do that.
Yes. Ooh, that's so good. Well, and we are wrapping up this conversation. I could talk to you forever about so many things. But as we get to these last moments, one of my favorite takeaways from your book has been the heart soil, the heart space, really feeding the soil of our hearts, understanding that at the end of the day, if that space is not okay and not well tended to, like it says in the word, it really affects how everything flows in our life. That's everything. Why we should guard our hearts.
Yeah.
There are a lot of us walking around with broken hearts.
Yeah.
And broken understandings of love. Broken confidence in that we could even ever be loved again.
Mm.
When we want to toil and maybe even wipe the slate clean of what's happening with our heart, where do we start? How do we invest? And this is in the book too, but what comes to mind now when you're thinking of heart space work and tending to the soil of your heart?
I love the challenge that we put out earlier, 30 days on your body.
Mm.
So of course, Scripture led me in this direction with the garden. Scripture identifies the soil in the garden as the heart. Nothing in the garden is going to be able to exceed the health of the soil. But that same soil our bodies were made from. That's why it's not an accident that emotions are bodily experiences. And so this is your heart. Like, grab a hold of that body and begin to be loving to that space. I think you'll begin to see a difference in where you are emotionally. And that includes releasing pain in whatever form, whether it's tears or sound. And I have some exercises in the last chapters of the book, like that involve the body and then the mind and then the heart and then the spirit, so that we're using all of us for something. Take this love affair with your body these next 30 days. I think people will be amazed at how it impacts where they are emotionally, how it impacts their heart. And stop trying to leave things behind. Be well with your whole story.
Ooh.
And your whole life. And I know what it feels like to want to leave something behind. Recently, in the place where I live now, there's a beautiful garden all over the property. And I was at my kitchen window washing dishes, and I looked outside, and there is a calla lily bush. And the calla lilies bloomed like overnight. And I'm like, calla lilies were the sole flower in my wedding bouquet in 1996. And I was like, and part of me was like, okay, we're going to go and pluck those so we won't have to look out the window, because it made me feel sad. And then I said, well, God, is there a reason why you would allow that blooming? And it challenged me to love the whole garden of my life. Every part of my life has had purpose and beauty. And just because something ended painfully doesn't negate the beauty that it gave. And we have to stop trying to scrub everything clean so that I don't have a scar or a memory or a reminder, because we dissect ourselves when we do that and we disassociate and we want to leave this over there. But I am all of these things. Mm. And this has been my whole life. And I can't be whole until I embrace the story of my whole life. And so if once a year something blooms in the garden of my heart that reminds me of a person or place or thing that I lost but loved, I can stand in that space and appreciate my whole life and know that God is still writing my story and not try to take chapters out of it when he is finishing it. I trust him.
Woo! That was a whole sermon in 7 seconds.
I trust
him. I trust him.
I don't fear him. When I say I trust you, what I'm really saying is I'm not afraid of you. When I ask someone, can I trust you? What you're really saying is, can I trust you not to do what I'm afraid you'll do? So what you're really saying is, should I be afraid of you? Do I need to fear you? That's what we're saying. When we meet that new person you're dating, or you started with a new friendship, or you join a new church and you're looking around, can I trust? What you're really saying is, should I be afraid? Am I safe? I am not afraid of God. I'm safe with God.
Yes.
And sometimes that feels like a confession that I want to be true, because some part of me is a little scared, but I will stay in his presence until his love overwhelms that. And I know I'm safe. I don't fear God in that way of afraid. I'm not afraid of God. I fear him. I respect him, but I'm not afraid of God.
So beautiful.
I trust him because he loves me so much. And I love God.
I am so grateful that you exist. My goodness. Oh. Thank you for your heart and the ways that you share. That's so, it just gave me such, that blessed me so deeply. I'm about to listen to that every day. That's like an affirmation that so many of us need to hear.
Which part?
I trust God with my whole story.
Yes.
My whole story. The parts of me that almost took me out.
Listen.
Like took, I was right. Had I not prayed, it might have been a different story. Took me out.
Yeah, me too.
And sometimes that shame of thinking of that and feeling like, oh, did you not trust God there? And But in reality, I'm still here, so I trusted him enough to answer the prayer eventually. And I, you know, all of the different ways that I wanted to give up on my calling or the feelings that come with the timing not going the way that I wanted to, even dealing with bouts of depression during the pandemic and even before, and being like, you know, there's nothing wrong in your life. Why are you depressed? There's shame, you know, with that, like all the things that come with the mind. But hearing you say, I trust God with my full story.
Yeah.
There is no room for shame.
Right. And don't look at those moments as shame. I know that's a simple thing to say, but you know, I've had those break moments. I survived a suicide attempt when I was in college. I've had some moments in my adult life where I was what I call church Christian suicidal. But when I look at the moments in my life where I really felt like I was actually breaking and I realized he was there with me, I don't feel shame. I feel loved. I feel adored. I feel like he's picking me up as his baby and he keeps bringing me back from those edge spaces. He always comes to get me. How can you not? If you stop looking at it as this is where I failed, this is where I broke, and start looking at it as he always comes to get me. My daddy has never not come to get me.
Jesus.
And then sit with that love. Mm. That's why the Bible says perfect love casts out all fear. Because when I'm feeling scared, I can sit down and remember how much God has loved on me. And I'll stay right here until I feel his love, like I feel it again, and then I'm better. His love is the antidote for so many things. And if we don't stop to revel in it, to feel it, to allow it. I trust him with my story because he has loved me in ways that are inarticulable. And why would I be afraid of someone who loved me that much? So anytime you think about trust, think about fear. And if you're feeling kind of afraid of God, because sometimes I think we do, sit with him and just say, God, I feel a little bit afraid of you. Like, are you going to allow this scary thing to happen? Are you going to? And then remember, we are overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Tell yourself the stories of when he came and got you from the edge. Remind yourself. And you'll feel the hope start to flow and his love presence. And how can I not be obsessed with a God who's loved me like this?
Okay, this is just so good. Okay, so I'm going to wrap this interview only because you've given us so much to chew on, to pray on. I feel like people are going to want to, they probably already paused it. If you back, hey, welcome back. But I feel like they're going to want to really sit with all that you have shared. The last question I always ask my guests is about the sacred space between where we've come from and where we are now, and how fragile but also important it is that we have the mantras that we say to ourselves that have gotten us from glory to glory, from point A of feeling in pain and going through to healing. That sacred space between who we are and who we want to become is so important because it's where we talk to ourselves. We feed in the soil. What for the people who want to become more well, more connected to their emotions, more understanding of the garden that lives within them, what do you hope they say to themselves? What sacred words can they remember to tap back into their healing if they felt disconnected, afraid, and avoidant of wanting to even come back to the fact that you can be healed, you can be well?
I want you to say the truth. One of the reasons that an affirmation or affirmations don't feel like they're working for people is because they don't feel true. And so they're saying it and it's not making a difference. So I can't tell you some exact words, but it should include these two words. And also, if you're struggling to say something in a way that it feels true, I know that I'm enough or God has enough for me, or I'm going to like, and you're struggling with that, then give me the and also. I feel fear and or anger or this pain, and also I can remember a time when God showed up for me, and so I have a reason to hope he will again. I feel frustrated, and also there's another part of me that feels excited, and God is with me in both places, and I can stand in the duality. I feel tension, and also I have reason to believe that I will survive. I just need you to tell the truth.
Tell the truth.
And I will dig into that heart soil till I find a truth, because only words that meet your heart, seed soil match, open up. Otherwise, we're throwing seeds on the soil and there's no match and the words don't open up. So all I can say is tell the truth. And if you're in pain, tell the and also truth. Acknowledge the pain and also.
And also.
And if you can't find an and also that's articulate, just say this pain and also Jesus. And also Jesus. That name's above every name. And also Jesus.
Amen. Okay, we do have to do the exercises. Okay. So the exercises.
All right. So
where do we start?
You can sit up like this. And this is a
look
good
at me.
One.
I really am sure.
Look at my feet. Can't even touch the ground. You can sit up. When I was doing this before, I was actually standing up. So it's not enough about the posture. But if you're feeling anxious,
okay,
or maybe even angry, there is this is called progressive muscle tension.
Okay.
And so we're going to go like feet, thigh area, and then we'll do our upper body, where I'm just going to ask you to tense that part of your body up for, we'll do it short. I'd say 10 seconds is good, but we don't have a lot of time right now. So for 5 seconds, just like tense your feet, like press them to the ground, curl your little toes up, just tense that up. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, then. And then we can do our calves, but sometimes people get Charlie horses, but you can try. So we're going to skip up here. So now tense up like your thighs and your butt, just 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Try your arm muscles. So we're going to, that'll go all the way up to your shoulder. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Do you feel tension going out of your body?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like you give the tension, let it gather, and then I'm releasing it. And so just coming up with your body with that, and you can do that a few times and it starts to bring you down. Mm-hmm. So that's one of the ways that we can just release it. So you could be sitting in a Zoom and
you notice
you can tense those legs in, but they can't see that part of you and you just
I'm here.
But it starts to bring your body down. So that's one way. You can also move in whatever way feels right. So it could be this. Maybe you're just getting rid of something. Remember that guy that did that song when he was like, I ain't stressing today. I was like, that's on.
Yes.
Like, shake it out. Yeah. Shake things out.
Yes.
Sometimes make the noise. So make a noise right now that would sound like a feeling you've been trying to get rid of. Yeah. There you go. Give me another one. How's it feel to release that sound?
When I feel funny because I sound like DMX.
It's all good.
But it also, something there was, it's like a little less tense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And if I keep going, I'm going to cry.
That's okay, though. That's good.
That's good, though.
Yeah. Two things. One, and I have this just into my spirit, there's something that you're not saying in some area of your life that needs to be spoken. You're holding back. You're trying to find the right words.
Yeah.
And you haven't spoken your truth in some area to someone.
Yeah.
And that started to even
come out when loosen I did it. That.
Yeah. Because as soon as your hand went here, like, I knew it was like, okay, yeah, her voice is clogged in some area.
Mm.
But just moving that. The other thing is, if you're doing any of these exercises and you start feeling like crying, you're doing it right.
Yep.
Because the thing about that vagus nerve, when it's activated, it activates tear ducts. And so that is actually your tree of life trying to stand up and balance you. And when we are crying, our hormone levels and stress levels, all that are being reset in our bodies. So tears actually indicate that my body is resetting itself. Mm-hmm. And we only cry, unless we're in horrible pain, we only cry when we feel safe.
Mm-hmm.
You don't cry when you're running from a dog. You don't cry when you're slamming on the brakes trying to avoid an accident. But later,
You will.
Because your body doesn't release that until you're in a safe place to release that stress energy and come back to balance. And so if any of these exercises make you feel like crying, you're doing them right. Actually cry. And don't ask yourself why you're crying.
Just cry.
Just trust your body. Because when you do that, you start intellectualizing and the tears will dry up and your body will get all, just let it out and don't wonder why you did it. Just do it.
Yes. I'm all right. Have to turn my brain off when you say that.
Yeah. All right. Let's breathe.
Let's breathe. Thank you. Okay. Breathing. Right.
So with the breathing, you do want to kind of try and get your posture up. So head up. I don't know what I'm saying, because slouching is not good. We want that vagus nerve. We want that tree straight. I'm going to have you breathe in through your nose for 4. This is a really simple one. And then out through your mouth for 8. The double long exhale is your kicker. And I love what your body's doing. So you've done some of this before. It's almost like you're melting when you do that exhale. Imagine you're melting. In through your nose for 4. Out for 8. One more. And 8. And you feel it almost like a little high in your... In your head, right? That's your body being shifted. It activates that nerve. And so you can set a timer for 60 seconds and just do that for 60 seconds.
Wow.
And it'd be amazing. But it worked even better because of the thing you pushed out first.
Mm.
We did the expression first and then we rested. Don't rush to the rest.
Yes. So get to
release.
Release your whatever is holding you back.
Release an energy if it's there.
I got to figure out what I'm not saying to.
And then rest. Yeah, but there's something that
there's something there.
Being said.
Okay.
Yeah.
We'll get to that.
It'll
part.
Come. Don't figure it out.
Yeah, I know. It'll get there.
Don't figure it out. Just wait for it.
Right?
Don't think. Just when you have a moment when you want to say something and you catch yourself being ready to not, then you'll know you're there.
Okay.
But don't burn your brain.
Okay.
It will only hurt you.
Yes. An overthinker's
thing. Oh, my God.
I'll be like, Gia, please.
Overthinking is an emotional act.
How?
It is an emotional act because remember, the thoughts are the plants in the garden. The soil is nurturing and watering the plants. And so when we're overthinking, ask yourself, what emotion am I feeling? What am I trying to think myself out of? I'm having these crazy thoughts that won't stop because I'm scared of X. Or because I'm sad about this. And if I'm trying to write a story about what happened, that will not feel so terrible because I don't want to feel sad. So I'm trying to write a story with all these overthinking that'll change the story. Just stop and be be sad instead. Remember, emotions water thoughts. Mm. That's why when a plant is wilting, where do we put the water?
Right
in the soil. And so there's an emotion that's watering those painful thoughts. Stop thinking and ask yourself, what am I feeling? Go to your body and engage your body.
Ooh, we got some work to do. Dr. Yes, Anita, do. Thank you so much for being here. Oh, you gave so many tools, so much wisdom, so much insight. And I would like to give you your flowers.
Ah,
quite literally.
I've got flowers for you.
Flowers.
Oh, ooh, those are beautiful. I love flowers.
When people are as impactful as you have been in my life, as a human being, as a representative of God, as a representative of wellness to so many of us, I always want you to receive your flowers and know how much you matter to us, but to me in particular, I love you so much. I'm just so grateful even just to see you. Every time I'm around you, it is like a soft hug, a soft place to sit and land and be. And it's also fun and exciting to be a person that knows you. And I'm just grateful for the privilege from God to be able to share space with you. I remember when we met at Woman Evolve and you were like, God says yes.
Yes. It's been going pretty well too, hasn't
it? You wasn't lying. Dr. Anita don't lie.
I forgot about that.
But the permission, just even in hearing that, changed a lot for me. So thank you. I love you so much. And we have one more token.
Oh my God.
A little, just a little bit. Oh, because I want you to celebrate all that you have absolutely been able to accomplish.
You guys, have done
so
cookies.
Much. I am so proud of you. You can't eat them.
I can't eat my daughter's
But they're just such a beautiful moment and representation of just all the eras of all that you have accomplished lately. I don't got no baby pictures in there. I was trying to find one. But just thank you for all that you do and all that you are. I love you so much. And just thank you for being here.
Thank you. I'm proud of you. You're doing good.
Y'all tune in to the next episode of Healed Girl Era. Please be sure, if you don't already have this New York Times best-selling book, The Garden Within, the full title is Where the War with Your Emotions Ends and Your Most Powerful Life Begins, y'all. It's all in this book. You definitely need to do this, especially if you are
in a healing journey,
because it's just such a great way to really be with yourself and your body, as you saw today. So thank you all so much for being here. Please subscribe, rate, comment, share, especially if you know someone that really needs to hear this podcast. Again, follow Dr. Anita on all the things she's doing. I'm sure this is only first of many New York Times best-selling books.
Amen.
And of course, support Woman Evolve.
Yes.
The tour, listen, the books, the moments, but
meet us in September. Y'all don't want to miss Woman of All 24. It's going to be a problem.
I tell people all the time, look, I told Sarah when she was just here, I wouldn't have done this podcast without Woman of All.
She has so much fruit. We are fruit of hers. She has so much fruit in this earth. Y'all want to be fruit of Woman of All. Do not miss that.
Go get your fruit. Yeah. We'll see you guys next time. Thanks for being here.
For more on Dr. Anita Phillips, head to anitaphillips.com to order her book, The Garden Within, to subscribe to her podcast, In the Light, and to find resources for more ways to engage with your mental health, your personal healing journey, and to learn more about the organizations that are engaging in all of the things we talked about today. Thanks for tuning in. Again, don't forget to subscribe, rate, and follow along at Healed Girl Era Pod on all socials to stay up to date when new episodes drop.
Thanks so much for listening. See you next time.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. At Kroger Pharmacy, care is making it easy to get vaccinated.
CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.